Welcome to Edulate. We're speaking today with Helen Kardias-Menos. Helen is a tech and e-learning leader. She's a Microsoft Innovative Educator expert, a Google innovator, an Apple teacher, a Makey Makey expert, Seesaw expert, and a Kai's Clan ambassador. Helen is an inspiring educator who works in Sydney. She tirelessly gives back to the community. Welcome along, Helen.
Good afternoon, and today we are with, and I'm going to say your surname wrong, Helen, because I say it wrong all the time, and I know names are so important. So I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself because I think people need to hear your beautiful surname said correctly.
No problem. Hi, my name is Helen Kardias-Menos, so it's phonetic, and it actually cardia is Greek for heart, and is menos is Latin for less. So there you go. But I get the children to call me Mrs. K, so you can call me Mrs. K if you like to.
How poetic. I get called Mrs. K as well. This is, we're on a winning ticket here.
Oh, see, great minds, great minds.
Helen, I'm wondering, we might start, the thing I usually like to start our conversation around is your journey in education. Where did you start and how did you get to the point that you're at now on your journey as a teacher?
Okay, yeah. So I started as a classroom teacher in the department. In fact, my first school was in Southwest Sydney on a stage three class. So that was, a challenge and really interesting. And I learned a lot, and I loved working in Southwest Sydney because you really learn to be creative and innovative and resourceful with your pedagogy and with your practice and with connecting with your children and your students. So I was teaching in Southwest Sydney just as regular classroom for roughly about 10 years. During that time, I was in and out. I had, I have three children, so I was on maternity leave. And I also started my Masters of Education with Charles Sturt University. So my Masters was in what's called Knowledge Networks and Digital Innovation. And I like to call it the game-changing degree because it really was the game-changer for me in terms of, how I was approaching, technology and innovation and networking and all of those sort of things, not only just in my classroom, but in my professional practice with other colleagues and staff, not just at my school, but beyond. So I really loved the journey I had with my master's, and I found it particularly enriching because I was still teaching at the time. It was amazing to be able to apply a lot of the ideas that I was learning as part of that study straight into my classroom and really look at what that looks like from that pedagogical perspective, really talk to the kids and watch their journey and their growth with how, I was changing up how I was doing things in the classroom. So I did that for a few years. And then in 2018, I left the Department of Education and I was given two jobs, which I still, pinch myself that I actually I got. One was with PLC as a technology teacher, and then the other was as the New South Wales project officer with the CSER group. And it was amazing, an amazing experience, an amazing time, because I was, I was able to hone that practice that I developed over the years within my master's and apply it in the classroom at PLC, and then be able to take those experiences at the coalface around integrating technology, around STEM and innovative practice and emerging practice and, inquiry-based learning, and bring that into my work with teachers and in my workshops and working with teachers in, building their capacity up in that space. So it was amazing. I learned so much at the classroom level and working with other educators. And that's pretty much led me to where I am today. So unfortunately, the CSER federal funding ran out a couple of years ago. So I've been full-time at PLC since then. Still love working with educators more broadly. And that's led to me being part of the board of ICT Educators New South Wales. So that's my journey in a nutshell.
It's been pretty rich, Helen, to say the least. And I've had the pleasure of attending one of your workshops, and I can I can say honestly that when you present something, it is with the students at heart, and you can tell that it's not coming from a place of academia alone. It comes from that foundation of research, but it's attuned to what a classroom teacher needs. So thank you for presenting that to us, because it's beautiful.
Yeah, and that's what I love doing. I mean, look, I love delving into the research and looking at, you know, the trends in academia in the ed tech space, but really it's all about what's happening in the classroom, and it's all about, you know, working with the children and bringing that to life in the classroom. And that's the passion that I have, watching the children grow and learn in this space. And then also, because I work side by side with teachers in a team teaching capacity, watching the teachers grow and learn in the space as well, you know, it's fabulous. And like you said, it's that coalface classroom application, and that's what I'm really passionate about.
Helen, you mentioned something a moment ago that I kind of wanted to ask you about, and it kind of goes back to, I guess, putting things into action. But I wonder, you know, as a classroom teacher who might be listening to this and kind of thinking, oh, this is all good and well, you've got this master's, yeah, you've got all this experience, what pedagogy would you suggest that, you know, we start to look at and start to think about, well, actually, this is a really good way to start thinking before you start enacting?
Yeah, definitely. So because I spent 10 years as a classroom teacher, and, you know, teaching, like I said, in schools in Southwest Sydney that have very limited resourcing, and often, you know, your students are coming with limited language sometimes as well. So one of the pedagogies that I find that helps me, I guess, structure how I approach integrating technology in the classroom is really thinking about inquiry-based pedagogy, in thinking about what I want my students to learn, what they want to learn, what they want to glean and understand from their learning experience, and how we're going to get there as an individual student and then as a collective, learning group. So I really believe, you know, in that inquiry-based learning, in play-based approaches, and hands-on learning, I think, is so important, particularly when we're working with younger children and when we're working with, students that are coming with English as an additional language, you know, really giving them the opportunity to try and test and explore. And that in itself will foster that language development.
Hugely so. And I think, as you said, you know, the younger children really flourish with those hands-on experiences, particularly and because it facilitates conversation, and therefore they're extending their vocabulary, they're honing in on the communication skills. They're doing so many things that we take for granted.
Exactly. And you see it, I guess, with your own children at home. I've got three children at home too, and I see that with my own children at home, and the way that they're exploring the world and you know, understanding concepts and ideas is through talking with each other and trying things and playing and being really active and hands-on and out in the mud. As much as, you know, mummy gets cranky when they come in covered in mud, you know, it's an amazing experience, learning experience for them, because they've learned so much about themselves, about the world, about, you know, things that are tactile, and that's what we need to be fostering in the classroom, I believe.
So I guess tipping onto that, or adding on to that, we've now got this conceptualization or idea that, you know, inquiry might be a really great place to start. And I know there's a lot of misconceptions around inquiry, but I guess we have to be aware of where we're entering the inquiry as an educator, what our role is, and what the role of our students will play in that. So taking on that pedagogical approach, how would you suggest tipping your toe in the water with ICT in trying an integrated or inquiry learning approach in the classroom? What do you think would be a good first step for somebody?
Well, I think it's all about, when you're thinking about integrating ICT into your classroom and into your pedagogy, it's all about thinking, you know, I always start with, well, what is the learning intention? What is the lesson? What are we aiming for with the students? So the lesson isn't about the technology, right? The lesson is about the concepts and the core ideas that we want our students to glean from this learning experience. So what is the best tool that's going to assist them in doing that? And if it's something that's around, that part of the process of inquiry has led them to create something, for example, it might be a tool that's fostering that creativity, you know. So it's thinking about, what is my learning intention? What am I looking for as an educator that's going to demonstrate to me that my student has learnt this concept or skill? And therefore, what tool is the best one to apply for that? So like I said, creativity, what tool allows them to create? And what are they creating? Is it a model? So is it a hands-on 3D model with Lego, for example? Or do I want them really to start thinking about, a digital version of something, you know, really exploring geospatial thinking in something like Minecraft or Tinkercad? So again, bringing it back to, what is the purpose of my learning? What do I as the educator want to see that the children have understood, or what skill can they demonstrate to me? And how are they going to demonstrate? So like I said, and, you know, we're really fortunate in that there's such a breadth of resources and such a breadth of material to support those resources implemented in the classroom. So I think, that's the other thing that, you know, a lot of teachers will come to me and get quite nervous about, I've seen this, you know, great little robot called an Ozobot, and it looks fabulous, but I'm a little bit worried or hesitant about what that might look like in my practice. So it's about, well, what have we got available? What already exists out there that you can modify, to meet your students' needs or your inquiry process or your learning intention?
I love that. Take something that you've already got, something you know that's solid in the classroom, and use it, and choose a tool to add into that.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, you know, even something as simple as, you know, we're teaching 3D space to the children. I mean, that's a wonderful place to start and be able to integrate technology. Like I said, you can start, you know, really low tech using Lego, and they build, you know, a 3D, object out of Lego. And then you can then move that onto using something like Minecraft or Tinkercad, where they're designing a 3D version of that model. And then we might then move into something like Pencil Code, where we might get them to code that model.
So, scaffolded approach there, isn't
that's
it?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And just like we would teach any other KLA, any other concept, like we teach writing or, you know, mathematical thinking, it's the same thing with teaching digital technologies and integrating digital technologies. It's not about the technology as such, it's about the core concepts and ideas and skills that we want our students to I guess learn and demonstrate to us that they're learning.
And you might be able to break this open, because this is something I often hear in the classroom, and I'm sure at a school level or a teaching level, is the misconception or the struggle that teachers have with differentiating or understanding the difference between IT and digital technologies. I mean, I know you and I, we're very fortunate. We've had great networks and supports whereby we've been able to build that conceptual understanding. But how do we break that open in a nutshell for somebody who wants to just go, well, tell me, break it down for me. What is DT? Yeah. What is ICT?
Yeah. Look, I think because there's such an overlap between the two ideas, I think that's where a lot of the confusion comes from, you know, from teachers generally. But I guess the way that I break it down is, when we're talking about digital technologies, we're really talking about things like digital systems. We're talking about algorithms and, you know, coding, and we're talking about using the design process. So that's when we're looking in New South Wales at our curriculum. They're the core ideas that we want to, or concepts that we want our students to understand and develop as part of that digital technologies curriculum and that digital technologies thinking. But IT or ICT are essentially the tools that help us and allow us to get to the point of developing coding or computational thinking, of, you know, using that design process. So it's, I guess I look at it like the ICT is using technology, DT is really about understanding technology and understanding how it works and why it works in that particular way. So, like I said, and there's a lot of overlap between the two, but when we're talking from the curriculum perspective, that's what we're really looking at.
Thank you. I love the way that you've summarized that into a really simplistic achievable, oh, not achievable, what's the right word? I'm sort of a definition that isn't too waffly, because I think that that's what teachers struggle with.
That's exactly right. And there, and you know, when you open up, you know, the syllabus and you read the sort of background to it, there's a lot of information there. And teachers just, we don't have the time. We are time poor. There are six key learning areas that we're expected to, you know, teach, assess and report, you know, and there's so much information that comes from that. So it's really, I believe it's part of the importance of what I do is really distilling it down to the core ideas and what those core ideas actually look like in the classroom when you're working with your children.
And I think if we always come back to that, we're winning.
Yeah,
we are.
That's
winning.
Right. Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier around how you've kind of taken this journey and you've transitioned or not. I mean, you are still a classroom teacher. Let's face it, classroom teachers are important, and we all at heart are classroom teachers.
We are.
What is it that fired you up? Why this passion and this glint in your eye when you talk about all these wonderful, magnificent things? Was there something that happened in your educational experience, or was it meeting somebody? What was it that fired you up to become the inspirational lady that you are today?
I don't know. I guess I've always been really interested in technology and being creative. I mean, I'm a very creative person, and I don't have a qualification in computer science or science, or I did a Bachelor of Arts where I majored in English and film. So I'm a creative person, and I feel like technology gives people the opportunity to, you know, create and be expressive and be passionate. And that's, I guess, what's always driven me throughout my career and my life. It's all, for me, it's about being creative and being passionate and being true to myself. And so I feel like, you know, particularly the world that we're in now, you know, there's so much opportunity for our children to be creative and passionate through technology. And I think that's what fires me up. And I look at my children, and I look at, you know, they're at home and they're building worlds in Minecraft. And, you know, I've got one who's a budding YouTuber. So he's constantly just filming everything. He's in the backyard and he's filming trees and, you know, things that he's doing in the backyard or playing with his brothers. And they're being creative and they're sharing and they're connecting. And I think that what I believe is I want to help not just my kids, but all the kids, and teach them the ways that they can use these tools effectively to be creative and be connected and be communicative and all of those beautiful things. And so I guess that's where I come from, and that's what drives me and makes me very passionate, because I feel like it's a beautiful vehicle and mechanism for creativity and passion and networking and collaboration.
And there's that sparkle in your eye again. I love it. I can even see it over the camera. It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very passionate. I'm very creative. I'm Greek as well. I'm very expressive.
This is good. Helen, I'm wondering, if educators want to reach out to you, are there some ways that they can connect and be inspired and maybe even cast an eye over the kinds of journeys that you have taken? Where can people connect with you?
Yeah, definitely. So my Twitter is, I guess, my blog. It's where I, you know, really share a lot of what's happening in my classroom. I've also been working on my alter ego, the marvelous Mrs. K, and she was born in the last pandemic as a way of, during online learning, as a way of, I guess, hooking my children in through narrative. We're doing some work on Storytime STEM and narratives, and she became a protagonist in our lessons. She was so fabulous, and the kids really resonated with her, and even a lot of the teachers resonated with her. So she actually became part of my vehicle for working with teachers. So I have my site, themarvelousmrsk.com, and my YouTube channel, Marvelous Mrs. K. And that's where I also share a lot of my lessons and my, I guess, hook videos or story videos for my students. But I also share a lot of the snippets of PD that I do for teachers at my school and beyond. Again, coming back to, I work in a team teaching capacity, and teachers are time poor. So I find that I make really short 5-minute videos of introducing a concept that we might be looking at in the DT classroom in the coming lessons, or a technology like a Makey Makey, for example. And I use that 5-minute video as just a little kind of preemptor for the teacher. When they enter the classroom with me, they've watched it and they know what a Makey Makey is, and they've seen one put together. So then I find that teachers are more active and less anxious about being in a lesson, and team teaching in a lesson a concept that they might not be familiar with. So the Marvelous Mrs. K, .com, I have a breadth of resources and videos and lessons on there for teachers and students. So people can reach out to me there. I love connecting with people. I love working with people. So please DM me on Twitter, follow me on YouTube, send me an email or a message, and I'd be happy to have a chat with you and give you some advice and work with you. I love connecting with people, and I love cross collaboration. So any of that, please contact me, and I'd be really happy to do that.
Thank you, Helen. You, the Marvelous Mrs. K and the real Mrs. K are doing wonderful things. And as I hear you saying that, it really appeals to me. It's something, I mean, I learn this way. It's almost flipped learning for teachers.
Yes, you know what I mean?
It's flipped learning for teachers.
Yeah. I mean, like I was explaining to you earlier, Beck, I was assisting in the athletics carnival this year, and I was on discus, and I don't know anything about athletics or discus. So that, that was my flip learning of frantically getting on YouTube and, looking up what is discus and how does one throw a discus and how do I assist students in throwing a discus? So, we all do it. I mean, that's part and parcel of how we grow as professionals. And next year I will be a brilliant discus athletics teacher. So
getting out of that learning pit, go you.
That's right.
Thank you for joining us on Edulate, and it has been marvelous as always to talk with you. I thoroughly enjoy the enriching conversations you bring, and thank you for your generosity.
Thank you so much for having me, and it's been great. I mean, I've had a cup of tea and I had a wonderful chat, and I look forward to when we can actually connect again face to face. So
bring it on. I'm sure you'll all join me in thanking Helen for that wonderfully informative and inspiring conversation. Please make sure that you reach out to Helen. She is incredibly generous and incredibly genuine. I'm Beck Keogh, and you've been listening to Edulate.